fire of his mind. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may withstand. Stand therefore, having on the breastplate of righteousness and your loins girt about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take up the shield of faith, wherewith you should quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray. Now here's what I want you to see. Verse 18. We so often skip over verse 18. In regards to this putting on the whole armor of God. In verse 18 of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul the apostle, led of the Holy Ghost, said this. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, that if God will put words in my mouth, I'll have freedom to speak, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, a representative, a person who stands for someone else in bonds. Paul said, I'm ambassador in bonds and chains, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, now thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you. I bless you, Lord, for the songs that we've been singing this morning. And I pray, sweet Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. Lord, stir our hearts. Motivate us to yield ourselves more to you. Take total control. We just thank you now for your great love. We bless you, Lord, Father, for sparing us another day to come and bless your holy name and worship you in spirit and truth and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Father, I'm not where I want to be, but I thank you, Jesus, I'm not where I used to be. And I want to press on. God, I pray that for every blood-bought, blood-washed child of God today, that we'll press on, that we'll be the mature and spiritually minded child of God. We thank you now, Lord, our hearts are heavy today as we think about all those right now in our within the sound of New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, and yea, even beyond into the uttermost parts of the world, Lord, where this tape might end up or where this message might end up, I pray, God, you touch the hearts of those that need to be saved and those that need a personal relationship with you. Father, now somehow, some way, God, we praise you that you will get all there is to us. And you'll create within us a clean heart. And you'll give us heaven's vision. The hands of our master. The feet of Jesus. The heart. And look and see heaven's vision for our life and for this community. And Father, for this world. Now thank you for what you're going to do. And praise you how God's lives have been changed and will be changed. And we'll give you thanks for it because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All God's people said. There are two places that I will carry you today that see if you'll follow Jesus. How many want to follow Jesus? There's a ringing, I think, in that. Can you hear a ringing in the sound system? You may want to turn it down a little bit more. I can get a little louder, amen, if I need to. There are two places that God wants to take us today. If you really want to follow the Lord, if you're playing church and you're just going with emotions, this message is not for you. So you can bow your head and go to sleep. If you don't really follow the Lord, if you're not serious about the relationship with Jesus, just go on to sleep or wander, let your mind wander, play with your computer, or whatever you want to do. This isn't for you. If you're not serious about the relationship with God, just act like you're not here, okay? But if you are serious about your relationship with God, if you really want to love Jesus, and if you really want to make a difference for the Lord, then two places I believe God wants to take you today, right now. The question is, are you going to follow? The question is, are you going to do what God tells you to do? Two places. Here they are. Number one. Here's what I want to challenge you. You ready for a challenge today? Did you come expect a challenge? Did y'all just come expect this to do his alms and play church and do church? And I hope you did, because here's a challenge. Now, I don't know if you're going to take this challenge or not. You may not. But if you don't, you'll be the loser. I assure you, if you take this challenge, God will bless you. God will multiply your input. The Lord will do some things in your life that he has never done before. If you take this challenge. You ready for it? If you're ready, say amen. Here's the challenge. At the end of the message, maybe during the message, I would challenge you to start praying every day at least 10 or you check the time. I would challenge you with 10 to 15 minutes a day. Some of you, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip, but some of us aren't spending time with the Lord on a daily basis. And no wonder we're defeated. No wonder we're powerless. No wonder our families aren't seeing greater things happening. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but
was homeless. He was cold. He was hungry. He noticed a police officer riding down the road. And he said to the police officer, he says, "Sir, I'm cold." And the police officer saw that he was a homeless boy, that he had a cardboard box. And the boy said to the police officer, he said, "Do you have a warm place where I can go?" The police officer said, "Son, look right down there. You'll see a white house. See that white house down there, son?" He said, "Yes, sir, I see it." He said, "Go knock on the door and say John 3:16. The boy said, "Okay, I'll do it." He went down the road and knocked on the door. And the lady came to the door. He said, "John 3:16. She said, "Come on in." She said, "You look cold. It's raining. It's cold outside." She said, "Would you come? Would you like to sit by the fireplace?" And boy, he said, "I sure would." And he sat by the fireplace, warm in his hands. And he talked to himself, John 3:16. What does John 3:16? He said, "Whatever John 3:16 is, it'll make a cold boy warm." Then she said, "Son, you look like you're hungry. Would you like something to eat?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I would love something to eat." And she said, "Here." She set the table before him. He just gobbled it down. He was so hungry, he was needing something to eat. And he thought to himself as he was eating, John 3:16. Whatever John 3:16 means, it'll make a cold boy warm. It'll make a hungry boy full. And then she said, "Son, when's the last time you took a bath?" He said, "It's been a long time." She said, "Son, I'll go up there and run you some bath water, and I want you to get in that bathtub and get cleaned up." And that boy said, "All right, I'll go." And he went upstairs, and he got in the bathtub. He got in the bathtub, and he thought to himself, John 3:16. And as he got in that bathtub, he thought to himself, "What is John 3:16? He said, "Whatever it is, it'll make a cold boy warm. Whatever John 3:16 means, it'll make a hungry boy full. Whatever John 3:16 is, it'll make a dirty boy clean." And then the next day when he got up, the dear lady opened up the Bible and said, "Son, I want to share with you what John 3:16 means. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That boy said, I do believe that Jesus died for me. She shared with him the gospel. He said, "Oh yes, whatever John 3:16 means, I know that not only it'll make a cold boy warm and a hungry boy full and a dirty boy clean, but it'll make a lost boy safe. I want you to know John 3:16 will make a difference in your life and my life." Listen, Paul said right here, and God quickened this in my heart this week, Ephesians 6:18. And here's the title of the message, Katie, if you're taking notes. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Two places we're going to go today. One, watching and prayer. Two, witnessing and power. I'm convinced more people aren't saved because we're not telling the good news. I'm convinced we not only tell the good news with our life, but we tell it with our lips. We walk the walk and then we talk the talk. Listen, beloved, there are people still in our community. How many believe there's still people right here in Jasper County that are lost and undone? They are not going to heaven. They're not going to go. As we've been singing today, doesn't it concern you? Doesn't it bother you? Aren't you saying, "Oh, well, I know time is short, and whatever I do, I better do it now. I better get the word of God to them. I need to tell them about the love of Christ. I need to make a difference in their life." Oh, beloved, God wants us to do whatever it takes. Then in Ephesians 6:18, Paul said this, "Praying always with all prayer." There it is. "And supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto." That word watching in Ephesians 6:18. The word watching means lying sleepless. How many heard the storm this morning? The lightning and the thunder. know about y'all, but I couldn't sleep as I heard the lightning and the thunder. That's what this word means, watching. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You see that? Capital S in verse 18. Capital S. Holy Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then watching thereunto. Watch this. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hey, listen to me. It's my responsibility to pray for you. And one of the greatest responsibilities I have as a pastor is not to stand before you and tell you about Jesus. But my greatest responsibility perhaps is this. Standing before my Lord, telling him about you. Asking him to bless you. Asking him to just pour out blessings on you and protect you. I had the privilege of lifting every one of you up this morning in prayer by name. Every one of you are on my prayer list every day. And that's one of my greatest responsibilities, is to pray and to seek the Lord and ask God for his protection on you, and ask the Lord to manifest his glory in your life, and ask the Lord to use you as a usable vessel. Oh, what a great responsibility. Listen to me. And your responsibility is to pray for your pastor. Your responsibility is to pray for others. Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Can I ask y'all a real quick question? Don't raise your hand. How many of you are praying for other people in the church on a daily basis? By name. What a challenge. What a challenge. Amen. What a challenge. This is not a condemnation trip. This is an encouragement, motivating trip to get us to join our God. God wants us to join him. God wants us to be a part of what he's up to. God chooses us, our Father does, to allow us to come alongside of him and cooperate with him, and then watch him do great and mighty things which we know not. I think I'm going to start shouting right there. Glory! Listen to me. I'm talking about the God of creation, the God that made us. He says, I want to use you, and I want to use you if you'll let me. If you'll let me, if you'll just come alongside of me, I want to do more in your life, more than you can do by yourself, more than you've ever dreamed. And watch me answer prayers, tear down strongholds, reaching the lost. I'm telling you, how many believe God can do that? Let's join him. Let's join him. So, three thoughts, three parts to this first part, which is watching in prayer. Watching in prayer. Don't you let the devil wear you out telling you lies, telling you can't pray. Tell him he's a liar. Tell him to get behind you. Tell him, I'm not going to listen to your devil anymore. Some of us, the reason we're not praying is we don't feel worthy to pray. I understand that. None of us are worthy. None of us deserve to approach God's throne. But I got good news. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus, by the sacrificial death, we have access to God's throne. We can talk to our Father. We can be used of God in spite of ourselves, and not because of us, but all because of him. Isn't that wonderful, beloved? Glory, glory, glory! Lord, I don't understand it, but I thank you for it. Watching in prayer. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Listen to me. Don't miss this. This is so elementary, but yet we don't do it. We sit in church for years and years and years, and we go through the motions, and we don't develop our prayer time with the Lord, and don't realize that sometimes God wants us to stand in the gap. Hey, how many believe America needs revival? What are you doing about it? It's so easy for us to gripe and complain about it. It's so easy for us just to sit and watch Fox News and watch them gripe and complain about it. But God's saying, hey, stop doing that. Start being an Elijah. Start making a difference. Start standing in the gap and making up the hedge. You can make a difference. You will make a difference. And when all's said and done, we'll give him the glory. And that's what James said. He said, hey, listen, Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's got a lot of strength. It's got a lot of strength. I wish you could have gone to the old-fashioned men campfire meeting. Why, I did see some of you there. But let me ask you a question. How many of you men, when you left, you felt like a shot of B-12? Did you feel like God ministered to your heart? Oh, I need that. I need that. That pouring in. That pouring in. And when we gather together on Sunday, there's something about it. When we worship the living God. I was visiting a man yesterday, and he said to me, it's this. He said, preacher, I don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian. I said, I know that, but listen, sir, I love you, but I got to tell you this. If you are a Christian, you're going to want to go to church. Something about it. It's God in us, the hope of glory. And God shows us that we need each other. We got to have that common goal, that fellowship, koinonia. Watchful in prayer, warring in prayer, intercessory prayer. And then thirdly, winning in intercessory prayer. Number one, watching in intercessory prayer. Y'all look at me now. Look at me. Prayer is a cycle. The Lord showed me this week. It starts with God the Son, the right hand of the Father. If Hebrews 7:25 says Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. Romans 8:34, Paul said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that had died, yea, rather is risen again, who's even at the right hand of the Father on high. In John 17, Mary, brother, son, he loved John 17. Oh, yeah, we talked a many time about John 17. Jesus said, Father, I pray for the disciples. I pray for all believers. I pray for all of them. It starts at the right hand of God. Don't miss this. It's a cycle. Look what Paul said in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. It starts at the right hand of the Father. Jesus prayed to the Father. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus prayed to the Father. And then it originates in the Holy Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Starts at the throne of God. The Spirit, watch this. The Spirit helps the believer. How many believe that the Holy Spirit helps the believer pray? I need to give you a little course on that, and I'm not an expert at it, but I want you to know Romans 8:28, chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27 says this. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not how to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, because he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many care about prayer? Let me see your hand. How many really want God to enlarge your prayer life? Let me see your hand. How many are going to willing what to do whatever it takes to see God do in your life in this matter of prayer? Some of you don't really maybe care, and that's why God's not doing it anymore in your life. I want to urge you as your pastor, listen, there's greener pastures. There are more stiller waters. There are battles to fight. There are giants to conquer. There are souls to reach. There's the work of God that needs to go on. There's family members in your family that need somebody to touch heaven. Can I get an amen? There's somebody in your family. They need you. Don't you think somebody else is praying for them? You stand in the gap. You make up the hedge. You be that one to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Take the challenge. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus prays. The Holy Spirit prays through us, and then we pray back to the Father. You see that? It's a cycle. It's a cycle. We pray. Jesus prays to the Father. The Holy Spirit prays through the believer, and we pray back unto the Father. Watching. All prayer and supplication. How many know that? Let me tell you a story that happened to me. I was going down to Florida. I've told you this story before, but it came to mind. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine called and said, my dad just passed away. I'm not going to be able to preach at this crusade in Interlochen, Florida, September the 11th, 2009. He called me on Thursday afternoon. He said, will you take my place as a crusade? There were almost 50-something churches had got together and they wanted to have a crusade down at this interlocking high school, a stadium. He said, "Will you take my place?" I said, "I'll be glad to." It was Thursday night. It was a seven-hour travel, 360 miles. I said, "I'll be glad to." But a little time to prepare. And I said, "God, you're going to have to prepare me." Well, here's the bottom line. On the way down there, how many know that I was feeling inadequate? "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." We need God. I need God this morning. I need God to speak to your heart. We need the Lord right now. I realize unless the Spirit of the Holy One touches your heart today, nothing's going to be done. I'm praying, and I was here yesterday afternoon walking down these chairs saying, "God, whoever's sitting there, God, I pray, speak to their heart. Cause them to be drawn to you." There's prayer. Don't think we just come to church haphazardly. There's prayer being given to our Father. "Lord, meet with us." And as I was going down to Interlochen, Florida, I said, "God, I'm not adequate. I'm not able. Lord, I need you." I called one of my friends who's with the Lord in heaven. How many know it is a wonderful blessing to have somebody you can call that'll pray for you? Come on. Come on. Lord, thank you for touching people's heart. I called this friend of mine and said, "I'm going down. I'm on my way now. I'm almost in Florida now. And now I have the privilege of preaching the Word of God, and I'm just needing somebody to pray." He said, "Brother, I'll be standing in the gap. I'll be interceding." I believe intercessory prayer is one of the most powerful yet unrecognized ministries of the church. But that's where God works. That's where power comes. That's where God unleashes His blessing on His people. And when I heard him say, "I'll be praying," when I hung up the phone, all of a sudden the peace came all over me. The rest of the story, had the privilege of sharing the gospel, and people came out of the stands. When I got there, there were hundreds, thousands of people sitting in the stand. They were lined up all around the gate and all on the other side of the stand. I'm saying, "Oh God, please. Your power, Lord, power." I believe the gospel is still the power of God and the salvation, and shared a gospel message. And they began to come out of the stands. They began to come out of the stands. I was overwhelmed. I said, Oh God, thank you, Jesus. I don't know how many were saved and how many are baptized, but to God be the glory. I called my dear friend. When I was on my way back, I turned around and came back home the same night, got in at about 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Guess what? The breakthrough came." I believe, beloved, it was all because somebody touched heaven. Oh, thank God for power. Thank God for prayer. Watching in prayer, number one. Number two, warring in prayer. In the context of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, no, make no mistake about it, it's in the element of spiritual warfare. How many believe the devil is our enemy? But thank God he's defeated. Listen to me, beloved. If Satan put an angel or some demon creature to block Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 10, don't you think he's going to try to hinder your prayer too? All you got to do is read it. 21 days Daniel fasted and prayed. He didn't get a breakthrough. Some of you are not getting a breakthrough. You're wondering why God isn't answering. You're wondering why there hadn't been the breakthrough yet. It could be that we've got an emissary. It could be that we've got an adversary. It could be that the powers of darkness are trying to block. But greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. And thanks be to God, 1 + God is a majority. I'm glad the devil's not stronger than God. God's answering prayer, isn't he? God's answering prayer. Did y'all hear about that lady back March the 6th, I believe it was, 2013, taking care of some lions? She loved big cats. I think she was 23 years old, 24 years old. She loved being around those big cats. All of a sudden, at this place where they had lions and other animals, she was cleaning out one of the pens, according to the report. And all of a sudden, a 350-pound male lion got out of his cage and made a beeline right for her and killed her. Broke her neck. I don't know how it happened, but imagine. She loved big cats. Her daddy said she loved to be around big cats. All she was doing was cleaning out the stall. And something happened. Somebody either didn't shut the lion's cage or either the lion somehow opened up the cage. All I know is this. The lion got out of his cage and mauled that lady and killed her. I thought about that. Peter said the devil's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know the devil's after you, and you better get to praying. You better not sit there passive. You better not sit there inactive. You better rise up, child of God, and realize we're in a battle. We're in a war, and the devil's going to chew you up and spit you out if you don't resist him. Don't you think that you are not exempt from the demons of hell? Oh, yeah, you better get to praying. You better get right with God. We better get right with God. We need to submit to God and resist the devil. He'll flee from him. I'm telling you, that dirty devil, he's walking about as a roaring lion. Don't you think that he don't have your number? He's got your number. If he can knock you out of the battle, he will knock you out of the battle. He don't care who you are, how long you've been in church, what your last name is, what kind of house you live in, or anything else. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. How many believe we need to get a hold of God today? I'm telling you, the devil's after you. He's after your family. But don't you just sit there and don't think that he's not. That's all right. We don't have to live in fear. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Wait a minute. Watching in the Spirit, warring in the Spirit, and thirdly, winning in the Spirit. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. I believe it's in Pilgrim's Progress. And some of us today need to get a hold of God. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is on his way to that celestial city on high. I love this picture. I love this picture. I love this picture. Don't miss it. He's standing here, and the devil, he's got a fire burning. That is, Christian's got a fire burning in his heart. God knows when you're on fire for God. God knows, and the devil knows it too. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more the devil's going to attack you. Can y'all hear me? It's all right. Arm yourself, child of God. And so, Christian's standing here. His heart's burning with the flames of faith. And watch this. The devil's pouring in water. He's pouring in water just like he's doing with you. He wants you to get cold. He wants you to get indifferent. He wants you to get critical. He wants you to be so mad and offended at somebody else that you become ineffective in the kingdom of God. The devil doesn't care what it uses to knock you out of the battle. We can see the casualties. I said we can see the casualties all up and down the road. And some of our family once was serving God, but they're not doing it anymore. Some of our family, some of the people we knew were gung-ho for God. And all of a sudden now they're out of the battle. Why? The devil knocked them out. Listen to me, brother. Listen to me, sister. None of us are exempt from getting knocked out of the battle. He did think of this stand, take heed lest he fall. I need you to pray for me. Will you pray for me? I need you to pray. You better believe the devil's going to unleash his fiery darts all the time. You take a stand for God, and you better believe the devil's going to come after you. But he's going to come after you anyway. You might as well take a stand for God. He's going to come after you anyway. Watch. And the devil's trying to pull. The devil's throwing in water. He don't want you to be red hot for God. He wants you to be a casual Christian. The devil just wants you to play church. The devil don't care if you just come and give God lip service, but your heart's not right with God. The devil don't care if you got a bunch of unconfessed sin in your life. The devil don't care if you're bitter and angry with somebody else. The devil don't care if your life revolves around yourself. He wants you to be a selfish Christian. And so he's thrown in that water. He's thrown in that water. Last week was a highlight. Last week was a mountaintop. But then you look, and this week's another week. And how many know you can get down real easy and discouraged, depressed? Things happen. It's cloudy. It's been raining. I love this. I love this. I love this. as the devil was pouring in water, Christian didn't realize the Holy Ghost was pouring in oil. There was a wall. And Christian didn't realize when the devil was pouring in water, the Holy Ghost was pouring in oil. How many today need some fresh oil? One. I'm glad, thank God, God's got some fresh oil for you today. You're tired, you're weary, you got a lot of problems, you got a lot of stresses and a lot of responsibilities, and you don't know if you're going to make it. God, the Holy Ghost says you're going to make it, child of God. Don't you give in, don't you give up, you just keep giving out. Let me say it again, don't give up, don't give in, keep giving out. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God is pouring in fresh oil. Amen and amen, and glory be to his name. Watching in prayer. How many need prayer today? How many need somebody to pray for you today? In a moment, you're going to have that opportunity to respond. Somebody says, I need somebody to pray for me where I can get in the right relationship with God. I need somebody to pray for me where I can get my heart right with God. I need somebody to pray for me because this problem and that problem. We share some needs earlier today. Are you going to get a hold of the Lord today? Then secondly and quickly, not only watching in prayer, but the second place that Jesus wants you to follow him is not only watching in prayer, but number two, witnessing in power. Witnessing in power. You see where you get that, Brother Pastor? Look at verse 19. Paul said, and for me that utterance after prayers and supplication and fighting the world, the flesh and the devil, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, I'm in chains, that therein I might speak boldly as though I might speak. Paul's saying this. He's saying, man, the enemy's after me because I know that there are souls to reach and their lives to change, and God's wanting to use you today. I want to ask three questions. I'll be done. Three questions. Are you listening? Say amen if you're listening. Question number one. Why aren't people saved? Why aren't people saved? Question two. Why aren't Christians witnessing? Why aren't Christians witnessing? Question three. What makes a Christian witness? Three questions. Number one, why aren't people saved? Why aren't people saved? Do you ever think about that? How many know somebody that's not saved right now? Let me see your hand. All right, others of you didn't raise your hand, you need to get somebody lost on your heart. Begin to pray for them. Watch God rescue them. We saw last week a young 20-year-old young man at 11 o'clock service. Last Saturday night, I had the privilege of sharing with him how to be saved right before the Easter drama. It was right up until the time. And I said, Tyler, aren't you ready? No, I'm not ready. And as I shared with you last Sunday morning, some of you may know this, some of you may not. I couldn't sleep all last Saturday night. I was up. God had him on my heart, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. God just had him on the heart. I know it's God that did it. It's not me because I'd rather sleep. Can I get an amen? God did it. God kept me up. And I was tossing and turning. Tyler, God save him. Lord, please rescue that young man. If he dies, he's going to go to hell. Why, we've had two young men to die in the last few weeks in our community. That is, they were from our community. Not only that, but a few weeks before that, another young man that came to church here died. We're talking about 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds. Tyler is 20 years old. For some reason, God burdened my heart. Here's the rest of the story. Oh, there were people praying. And last Sunday morning, in the 11 o'clock service, I want you to know, God showed up and God showed out. How many are glad when God shows up and God shows out? Glory! And I'll tell you what, that young man came out of the aisle. He stepped over people. He almost knocked them down trying to get out. And God showed up and God showed out. And people were leaving. I understand. They didn't want to see, but whatever. Anyway, that young man, they didn't know what was going on. And that young man came down to the altar. Here's what he said to me when he got down. He said, I'm ready. Tears flowing down his eyes. I'm ready to be saved. I said, get down here and let's do business. Get down here and let's do business. Cry out to God. I can't save you, but the Lord can. Cry out to God. And he was sitting right here, and he was weeping and saying, Jesus, save me from my sin. Oh, all of you that were here last Sunday night heard his testimony. He was gloriously birthed in the family of God last Sunday morning. And the church said, glory! The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Church family, you've been praying. You've been seeking God. And guess what? God answered the prayers. Bubba Wilson had been praying for him. Real friends bring other friends to Jesus. Real friends don't let their friends die and go to hell. Real friends don't let their friends go to hell. Real family members don't let their family member go to hell. No, no, no. Whatever I got to do, whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Why are people not saved? Number one, carelessness. They just don't care. Like that rich man tearing down his barns and building bigger barns. They don't care. Number two, not only do they not care, they're procrastinating. I'll get right one day. Not now, not now, not now. We're not promising tomorrow. Number three, there's a third reason. Some don't know what to do, and you had the privilege. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you ever had the privilege of sharing someone from the Bible how to be saved? Don't raise your hand. If you've never had that privilege, I want you to know there's nothing more thrilling in your life other than being saved yourself is taking the Bible and showing someone how to be saved. I believe God's putting it in your heart right now. God's putting it in your heart right now. You know that person that's not saved? Go talk with them. Tell them about what Jesus has done for you. Give them a testimony. If you got a testimony, thank God they can't argue with your testimony. Amen. They'll argue with you about theology, but they can't argue with you about, hey, this is what Jesus has done for me. Once I was lost, now I'm saved. Go tell them. Tell them to look to Jesus. Tell them to trust Jesus. Tell them to repent. Tell them to receive Him. God's got you by divine appointment. And you know a lot of those friends, they're going to die and go to hell if you don't tell them about Jesus. Jesus said, go. In obedience to Him, let's go. Amen. The second question I want to ask you and answer is this. Not only why aren't people saved, number two, why aren't Christians witnessing? Why aren't Christians witnessing? Why aren't you witnessing? Why am I not witnessing? What's the deal? Huh? Why aren't we witnessing? May I suggest to you there's a couple reasons. Number one, you're not sure of your own salvation. If you don't know if you're saved or not, you're not going to want to tell anybody else. Number two, you might have some unconfessed sin in your life. And you're not in the right relationship with the Lord. And that might be what's hindering you, keeping you from sharing with somebody else. Listen to me, beloved. It's not a legalistic measure, no. I love to tell people about Jesus. How many like to tell people about Jesus? If you don't like to tell people about Jesus, whether it's in a card, whether it's baking a cake and say, Jesus loves you and I love you too, if you don't have a love to tell people and have a burden for the lost, there's something wrong. Because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Listen to me, that's not condemnation. I've been sitting in the church and heard this preaching and felt like, oh, the preacher's condemning me. No, no, that's asking you to get with God and join Him and watch Him do things that we can't do. I'm telling you, that's where the joy is going to come back to some of you. Some of you are not joyful anymore. You're not happy anymore. You know why? Because you're not doing what God wants you to do. If you'll just start witnessing and start sharing your faith and start serving God, that joy will return. That joy will return. The bells of heaven will ring again. I'm telling you, that joy will come back to you. If you'll go and tell somebody about Jesus, that joy will come back. I don't think anything else in this world compares to telling somebody about Jesus. Amen and amen. And try it, you'll like it. Try it, you'll like it. Oh yeah, you will like it, I guarantee you. You say, well, it was a relational confrontation. It doesn't matter. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Your system, your method may be different than mine. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just do it. Just do it. Whatever it takes, let's get people to Jesus. Whatever it takes. Drama, wild game supper, Sunday school, brotherhood, Awanas, nursery, choir, whatever. I said, get them to Jesus. Whatever it takes. Some are backslidden. Some aren't serving God. They need to be restored. That's another ministry in itself. It's not just about the lost. Praise God. It's about restoring our brothers and sisters. Oh, yes. Why aren't Christians witnessing more? Some aren't sure of their salvation. Question. Have you got absolute positive assurance if you died, you go to heaven? If you don't today, you need to get that thing nailed down. Secondly, why aren't people sharing their faith? Some say, I'm afraid of questions, what people ask me. Listen to me, hear me? I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. Don't get in some theological debate. Just tell them, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Get them back to their relationship with Jesus. Stay on track. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get on rabbit trail. Keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is keep the main thing, the main thing. Don't try to answer all these theological questions. That's a ploy of the devil. Just tell them about Jesus. Don't worry about the questions. You don't have to know all the answers. I don't know all the answers. Why aren't Christians witnessing more? And some need to be taught. All right, my time's gone. I want to hit the third point and I'll be done. Not only why aren't people being saved, why aren't Christians witnessing more, including myself? God knows if I don't plan that time, I'm so preoccupied. I've got so many other things going on. I love my church family, but if I'm not careful, I spend all my time with my church family. I love that, and that's a part of my responsibility. But if I'm not careful, all week long, all I'll be is around Christians. And I love being around Christians. I love it. I need it. But if I don't make time every week to say, Lord, I'm going to make time to go and tell somebody or talk with somebody when I'm at the grocery store or talk with them as I'm going, it's not just going out with visitation, although, Brother Jim, that's a part of it. And some of you can use the telephone. Some of you can use cards. Brother Jim Daniel's going to help us with our outreach. He's going to help us. We're going to work together. We're going to see God doing great and mighty things in these days to come. How many want to join the team? How many want to join the team? Team Jesus. All right. Last question is this. Why are some Christians driven by witnessing? Some do have the gift of evangelism, but you know what? They realize that hell is real. And how many believe that death is certain? Life is uncertain. People aren't promised of tomorrow. That I know we get preoccupied and we get with Christmas and holidays and special events during the year, and if we're not careful we get sidetracked. All of us do. But we got to get back to our first love. We got to get back to the main thing, and that's what God's wanting to do to us today. I want to finish with this story. I heard a true story, by the way. This was in March last week. A young man was out in the ocean, playing in the ocean. And the tide carried him out. He was going further and further. He was going under the water. A police officer saw what was going on. A police officer swam out there and tried to pull him back to shore. The police officer couldn't do it. And the bystanders that were standing by the shore saw what was going on. That young man was going further and further out. And they said, what can we do? He's going to drown if we don't help him. You know what they did? They formed a human chain. They formed a human chain. A human chain. A human chain. They formed a human chain. They formed a human chain. They formed a human chain. This is what they did. They formed a human chain. They formed a human chain. They formed a human chain. That's right. They formed a chain. Everybody had a chain. Come on, somebody get with Brother William. They formed a human chain. And here's what they did. They stretched out. Hold that chain. Hold that chain. Hold that chain. Hold that chain. They stretched out from the shore. And they one at a time. One stood up at the shore. And they got further and further in the water. Until they went all the way out to that young man. And they got him at the last of that chain. And they brought him back into safety because they worked together. Listen to me, brother. There's some people I can't reach. There's some people I can't reach. You can reach them. I'm going to join with you. I'm going to join. There's some people I can't get to. I can't get to him back there. You can get to him. You're at a school. You see him every day. There's some people I can't reach, but we can reach them working together. Let's do it. Whatever it takes.